praise Jesus for the opportunity to spend every afternoon with you. Times like these, I can't imagine being at war with anybody else alongside of me other than you. The 7th day of December, 2021. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. Well, Kyle Rittenhouse's criminal trial is over, but that is far from the end of the legal saga. When Kyle was first arrested, prosecutors slapped him with an absurd $2 million bail figure, even though Kyle had voluntarily surrendered to police and was a non-existent risk to reoffend. They did that because they wanted to hurt Kyle and his family, because he represented the enemies of the regime. Well, despite an aggressive campaign to shut down the effort by GoFundMe and others, that $2 million was raised and Rittenhouse was bailed out. Well, now the criminal trial is over and Rittenhouse never violated bail, so the money is being returned. But who gets that money? Lynn Wood was involved early on with Kyle Rittenhouse last fall. He says that he raised the money through his Fight Back Foundation, and so the money should be returned to Fight Back. He's filed court paperwork demanding exactly that. The Rittenhouse family, though, says that the money ought to go to them. And this has turned into a steadily escalating war of words between the parties. During his interview with Tucker Carlson, Kyle himself accused Lynn Wood of intentionally keeping him in jail longer in order to raise additional funds. Then, almost immediately, a Mockingbird-style, communist-like wave of attacks targeted Lynn Wood and included high-profile media personalities, elected representatives, social media influencers, politicians, and more, all painting Lynn as some sort of a grifter or a thief. Well, in response to all of that, Wood has been posting balance sheets from the Fight Back Foundation on Telegram to support his claims. And that's not all he's been posting. He's also highlighted personal emails exchanged between Tucker Carlson and Hunter Biden, including one where Tucker specifically asks Hunter for a letter of recommendation to Georgetown for his son. Well, Lynn Wood has a lot more to say about all of this. And the so-called media, including Tucker Carlson, lack the testicular fortitude to give Mr. Wood a platform to answer to these smears. That they were happy to air in what seemed to be a well-rehearsed interview with a young man reading from a script seemingly groomed by a shady lawyer with a personal vendetta against Wood. Well, as for the Stu Peters Show, we will not shut down the opportunity for Lynn Wood to defend himself. And he joins us now. Lynn, welcome, and thank you for coming.
Stu, good morning or good afternoon, wherever we are. I want to thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak on this subject. And I want to thank you for all you're doing to bring truth to the American public. You are to be commended, my friend.
Thank you. I can't imagine doing anything else in these times. So first of all, as for the bail, the money was raised by Fight Back. The accusations made by Kyle that you had a hand in leaving him sit in jail for an extended period of time. To these things, what say you?
Absolutely, unequivocally false. Never happened. In fact, Fight Back, I believe, should be given credit for raising $2 million at a time when raising money for Kyle Rittenhouse was not easy. But we got the money in less than 3 months, and we got him out at the end of November of 2020. I believe that if Fight Back had not made the efforts that it made through its donors, who should receive the credit, Kyle could very easily have been in jail until the time of his trial. Fight Back was formed when I was approached by John Pierce and Lawson Pettigo. And I was asked to help. I did. I got involved quickly, shortly thereafter when it was formed. People started asking me to help Kyle. I talked to the Fight Back board. We agreed to do so. We were going to help him with legal fees and investigative fees. We had a video done that showed the scene that night. We really helped him. We paid over $600,000 in his attorney's fees and investigators' expenses. The initial strategy of the criminal defense lawyers, of which I was not one, they wanted to keep, particularly John Pierce, Kyle in Illinois, where he was safe in a juvenile facility. I did not disagree. At the time, the volatility in the nation was great, and there were threats being made to find Kyle in jail, to kill him. So I did not disagree. In fact, I supported their idea. I was only involved because I was overseeing, in a very 30,000-foot way, the criminal defense team that John had assembled, because Fight Back had to make sure that the efforts they were undertaking were reasonable and necessary in order to justify our reimbursement of their fees. So when Kyle was kind of whisked out of Illinois at the beginning of November and sent to Kenosha without John being able to appeal the habeas motion that he had filed, I turned full bore for Fight Back on raising money for his bail to get him out as quickly as possible because of his safety. We raised $1.25 million on a specific request for Kyle's bail. We put $600,000 of the foundation's general money into the package. We were $150,000 short. Joe Flynn contacted me and connected me up with Ricky Schroeder, the actor. Ricky agreed to loan Fight Back the $150,000, but he required that I, Lynn Wood, sign a personal guarantee. I did it because I wanted to get this boy out as quickly as possible. So we got him out. We were then told shortly thereafter that family, through John Pierce, did not want Fight Back to raise any more money to help Kyle. We stopped. I had agreed to help Kyle on defamation cases after the criminal case. I was told at the time that they said to stand down. I was told that John Pierce was going to take over the defamation. I said, fine. I wanted to retire anyway. I was just willing to do it to help him. So we were out of the picture at the end of November. And we thereafter got in touch through Lawson Pettigo, one of the founders with John Pierce and myself. We offered to let the criminal lawyers know that Fight Back would always be ready to reimburse out of the specific money raised for Kyle's bail when it was returned, that we would be willing to reimburse any unpaid legal expenses or fees. We never got a real answer from them. Robert Barnes was involved. He was trying to help. Then the next thing we know, when Kyle's acquitted, instead of celebrating his victory, instead of thanking the Fight Back donors for what we did for him, I'm then subjected to what I call an assassination attempt on my character.
And we're going to get to that in
and
a
why
second.
Do I call it?
But
yeah,
I,
but
I,
let me just make one point.
Sure.
Just to make this one point, if you don't mind. I use the word assassination because I've been involved for 25 of my 45 years as a lawyer in dealing with the media. Not one person that interviewed Kyle Rittenhouse ever called me to ask me for my side of the story or for Fight Back side of the story.
Yeah, we're
something's
aware of
that. Not right.
Absolutely. I'm asking this because of a procedural reason. There's a specific reason why I'm asking. Did Kyle or Wendy Rittenhouse contribute to the fund at all?
They did not. When the fund, when we set up Fight Back and we made public that we're going to try to help Kyle, reimburse him, we cannot give a personal benefit as a 501c4. So we could only raise money and use the foundation money to reimburse expenses and fees, part of our mission, defending the Bill of Rights and the Second Amendment. We received through John a contact with a gentleman named Rob Montgomery, who had been raising money, he said, in a Give, Send, Go account, I believe, and he had something like $400,000 to $500,000 in that fund, so he said. He talked with me and said that he wanted to donate that money to Fight Back as part of our efforts to help Kyle at the time with his attorney's fees and expenses. We accepted the donation. Now there seems to be some kind of a undercurrent where there are allegations that Wendy and Kyle raised that money that we received from Rob Montgomery. If they did, that's news to me. I never heard about it. I'd be surprised if it was true. So I don't know what claim Kyle and Wendy have to the bail, which has to be returned to the person or entity that posted it, Fight Back. But if they have one, we've written the lawyers and again offered to pay the unpaid attorney's fees, which Mark Richards told us was approximately $90,000. Now, I know that after we got out of it, there was a charity set up called Free Kyle USA and Milo Fund. I think they raised hundreds of thousands of dollars from what I've seen people send me about what they posted on the internet. I don't know where that money went. I don't know whether it was paid to attorney's fees. I don't know. I know they're still trying to fundraise for attorney's fees, but Fight Back's sitting here saying, look, of the money that we posted, the amounts that were specifically raised for Kyle's bail, we'll consider and pay any unpaid attorney's fees or expenses. I'm not sure what else we could have done, Stu. We did everything we could to get him out as quickly as we could, consistent with the criminal lawyer's position. We've continued to offer to help him after the bail fund was monies were returned. And yet here I am, instead of fight back being discussed, they're going after Lynn Wood. It makes no sense. The only thing Lynn Wood did, other than his efforts for fight back, was to personally guarantee a $150,000 loan to Rick Schroeder. So anything that Lynn Wood did specifically was designed clearly to put my own money at risk to get that boy out as quickly as I could.
I worked in the bail industry for over a decade, and that's the way bail works. For people who don't understand, whoever posts the bail gets the money back at the end of the trial, oftentimes minus any fines, fees, surcharges, restitution. In no case have I ever seen the bail money awarded to someone else. I don't know why the Rittenhouse family would feel that they should be handed $2 million, but let's talk about this attack on you. This was really interesting to watch. So first you have what appears to be a well-rehearsed young man reading from a script on a national platform that he was obviously very well prepared for. It looked like it was practiced. And in the edited version that Fox decided to air, most likely segments handpicked by Tucker Carlson, the accusations about you specifically were right up front. Almost immediately, you have people like Rick Grenell, Marjorie Taylor Greene, General Michael Flynn, a whole bunch of social media influencers, so-called journalists, Patrick Byrne, all these people attacking you, and it seemed extremely coordinated, at least to me. Marjorie Taylor Greene, a sitting member of the United States Congress, went so far as to call for you to be arrested and jailed, when just hours, days, and weeks before that, she and others were celebrating our justice system because it had apparently worked, the system where everyone is afforded the presumption of innocence until proven guilty. So what are your thoughts on this attack, and who do you feel is behind all of it?
I think that it was a planned attack by what I would describe as the deep state. I look back at it now, and I candidly believe that I was entangled in a psychological operation that had several different purposes. One of which ultimately was to attack my credibility. And that seemed to be the focus of the effort after Kyle was acquitted. There are many things about that interview that raise serious questions in my mind about the legitimacy of it. And I'm going to explore that because in my time, I'm going to sue Tucker Carlson and Fox News. I'm going to take their depositions. I'm going to find out exactly what they did, when they did it, how they did it, and who was involved. I go back to this fundamental, and you know this, as you've said, the bail money by law has to be returned to the entity that posted it. Kyle and Wendy have no claim to the bail. I had actually asked Lawson Pedigo when we were discussing what we would do with the money that came back to us, if it did. I mean, you know, if he hadn't shown up, we'd have been out $2 million.
Right.
I asked Lawson, I said, maybe what we should do is take the money that was earmarked specifically for Kyle, $1.25 million, and give it to him. Lawson Pedigo said, you can't do that. He's a tax lawyer. He set up the 501c4. He said, if we did that, that would be a personal benefit. We're not allowed to do it. So then I said, well, we all agreed on the board we would be available to reimburse unpaid fees. So I look at the people that have come out and attacked me, the commentators in the media, Tucker Carlson, Dan Bongino, this guy with the fake accent, Sebastian Gorka, the guy that runs Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk. Not one of those people ever picked up the phone and tried to reach me to get my side of the story. They're all in it together. If you want to start identifying deep state members of the media, start looking at the people, including Sean Hannity, that set this up to attack Lynn Wood. Whether General Flynn, Joe Flynn, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and others were involved, I have my own personal opinion on it. I have severed my relationship with General Flynn and his brother Joe. I think I was played. But thank God he gave me the wisdom and discernment to figure it out. So it is what it is. I know that Fight Back has been besmirched in the efforts to besmirch and attack me. I'm not happy about that, because I do view Fight Back as an entity and an advocate going forward that can help this country so that we will never again find ourselves on the verge of losing our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. So I leave it up to people to look at the body of my life's work. The idea that I would keep a boy in jail, that I would somehow try to steal $2 million is laughable. Don't get caught up in the frenzy of the lies that they're making against me. Look at the body of my life's work. Look at what I did for Nicholas Salmon. Look at what I did for Richard Jewell. Look at what I've done for many people as David's against Goliath's. I love Jesus Christ. I don't lie. I don't cheat. I don't steal. I try to do things that glorify God and help other people. God meets my needs, so I don't worry about myself. So this was a character assassination. I felt like I was driving down Dealey Plaza in a limousine without a bubble top, and they took a shot at me. But I'll tell you something, Stu, they missed. Because people know me, and they know that this story makes no sense. There's a lot more that I think we're going to learn about this entire Rittenhouse matter with the passage of time. So stay tuned.
Yeah, there's just so many different things at play inside of the wheel, the mechanism that's driving this whole Kyle Rittenhouse thing. Lots of questions about some of the things that he even said, specifically pledging allegiance to Black Lives Matter, making political statements about the election not being stolen. And then you have Marjorie Taylor Greene supporting him, wanting to give him some sort of a congressional medal. So is that a prerequisite for the so-called, the so-called America First representative in Georgia? Is that a prerequisite for her to be a hero? Is that you denounce that there was any fraud in the 2020 election, which was blatantly and obviously stolen and fraudulent, and then support the terrorist group that was there to kill Kyle Rittenhouse on the streets of Kenosha in the beginning when he lawfully defended himself using his Second Amendment? There's just so much at play here and so many weird and suspicious things right in front of our faces that I think deserve some attention. I've got about a minute left here. I'd like to get your final words.
Well, I did represent Marjorie Taylor Greene at the time she was running for office. And let me just say that Marjorie Taylor Greene is not the person that I thought I knew at that time. I've learned a lot about her, and she's just not who she represented herself to be. What I would ask people to do is to look at the body of my life's work, to look at the, I put all the financial records out. Fight Back Foundation has been audited by an independent CPA for 2020. We crossed every T, we dotted every I. Fight Back Foundation should be congratulated. It's donors. It was the donors that came up with the money. I only signed a $150,000 guarantee, so I don't take credit for what we did for Kyle. I give it to the good patriotic Americans that stepped up to the plate to help this boy get out of jail so that he could be with his mother, so that he could work with his lawyers to prepare for his trial. But for those donors, Kyle might have been getting ready for trial from jail, because I don't believe he would have been able to come up with the money otherwise. So I'm willing to take the slings and the arrows. I stand on the rock of God. I have nothing to hide. I think some of the other people like John Pierce have a lot to hide. I noticed they went after me and not John Pierce. Watch out for John Pierce. John Pierce may be involved in a CIA/deep state psyop.
Lynn Wood. Taking the chinks to the armor and doing it with your shoulders rolled back and your head held high in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you, and thank you so much. Amen. For being here. We appreciate it.
God bless you, Stu. Have a great day.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the CEO of MyPillow. Cancel culture has not only affected myself and MyPillow, but millions of you out there. My employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you for all of your support. At MyPillow, we not only have pillows, but we have hundreds of products, including my new slippers, bathrobes, sleepwear, and my new beds. We're offering the best gifts ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have this exclusive offer on the standard size MyPillows, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. We also have the queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now only $24.98 with your promo code. and we have the king size. Regularly $89.98, now only $29.98 with your promo code. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer.
Give the most of Red Voice Media by going premium. Exclusive behind-the-scenes content, one-on-one, extended hard-hitting interviews with Stu Peters, and deep-dive investigative reports. All always 100% ad-free when you become a premium member. Always 100% America first. True conservative values. Action-based reporting with courage. 100% ad-free content, including the headlines mainstream media won't touch. Uncensored. Unafraid. Unstoppable. RedVoiceMedia.com/premium. RedVoiceMedia.com/premium.
Well, America has more than 1.3 million lawyers, but almost none of them do any good for this country. Talk to almost any one of them. They'll tell you the importance of our adversarial system of justice and ensuring that everyone gets their day in court. They'll tell you how the American legal system protects people's rights from overreach and from tyranny. Well, that all sounds great, but most of them don't believe a word of any of that. And you can tell because the vast majority of lawyers are doing absolutely nothing about the hideous mistreatment and railroading of January 6th protesters who are still, to this day, right now, being treated like subhuman garbage and domestic terrorists, regardless of what they did on that day. And in the vast majority of cases, what they did was nothing. Bill Ayers built actual bombs and put them in the Capitol building. Today, he's an old chum of Barack Hussein Obama and treated as a distinguished academic. There's hundreds of thousands of lawyers who would be happy to do a case for him. Thousands would probably do it for free. But on the other hand, you have Richard Barnett, who put his feet on Nancy Pelosi's desk and is treated as the leader of a violent insurrection. And he's treated as an untouchable by the lawyer caste. Well, Joe McBride is the exception. He's a former Manhattan public defender, and now he's serving as the attorney for Barnett and four other January 6th defendants. McBride has done more than anyone to expose the mistreatment of January 6th political prisoners who are being subjected to what he says is blatant torture. McBride has been the only lawyer willing to say what's blindingly obvious, but ignored even by most conservative writers and show hosts and journalists. The January 6th defendants have been targeted for financial destruction, for physical torment, and personal humiliation. Why? Because they're ideological enemies of the government. We're happy to have Joe McBride as he joins us now, sir. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Stu. It's good to be here. I appreciate you having me on the show, and I appreciate all the good work and important work that you do on a regular basis.
Of course. I mean, we're trying to get the truth out. What is the truth about how these people are being treated in this solitary confinement hellhole?
The truth is that the conditions of confinement have been horrible. You have a part of the prison that was previously defunct. It wasn't open. It was open specifically for the housing of January 6ers sometime on the 7th or the 8th of January. They have been put there in an unsanitary wing that has black mold, that has rusted metal all over the place, that has poor ventilation, poor circulation. They've been cut off from society. They've been targeted because of their politics. They've been targeted because of the color of their skin. They've been targeted by and large because they are Christian men who believe in Jesus Christ. And because of this, they are treated horribly. They are fed bad food, dirty food. They are not allowed to wash. They are not allowed to, on a regular basis, they are not allowed to cut their fingernails. They are not allowed to shave their beards, cut their hair, participate in worship services. They're being held for solitary confinement for extremely long periods of time for the specific reason of breaking them so that they will take a plea that they should never, ever take.
There are a lot of people who are encouraging a plea to be taken, but then we don't get to discovery. I admire the tenacity of these defendants that are holding on so that this discovery can be brought forth for the entire public to see. There are people who in the sand in some whole country overseas, decapitated, beheaded, true American heroes, soldiers, members of our military and armed forces, dignitaries, ambassadors for the United States and others, who are being held at Gitmo, who are being treated far better than these prisoners. Where are the elected representatives who absolutely have the sway to do something about this?
It's a very good question. You have your...
I see a lot of selfie parties outside the jail. I see a lot of little knock, knock, knock and viral videos with a big donate here button. Where's the actual action?
Right. Well, you know, to their credit, you have members of the Freedom Caucus. You have Marjorie Taylor Greene. You have Louie Gohmert. You have Chip Roy, some other people who have been speaking out. Co-Star, they have been speaking out. These are the people the only people in Congress who have said, hey, wait, this is wrong. We need to investigate. We need to go down there. We need to make some noise about what this is. They're the only ones that have been helping. But virtually everyone else has been silent. It doesn't matter if you are a Republican. It doesn't matter if you are a Democrat. It doesn't matter if you are an independent. Sides have been chosen, and you have people who have chosen elitism over the rank and file American, over your blue collar worker, your small business owner, your true blue American citizen who loves this country, who appreciates their freedom, and who believes that America is the greatest country in the world. Those are the people who need to be defended. Those are the people who need to be taken up for. But instead, what we have is people in Washington, D.C., who value their relationship with Mitch McConnell and with Nancy Pelosi more than they do their constituents. They need to be primaried, they need to be ousted, and we need to vote people in who actually care about the American public.
Yeah, let's hope that we have an election system that will actually honor the vote of American people by the time that it's time to primary these people. Speaking to the day of January 6th, these defendants are being charged in most cases with misdemeanors, a couple of felonies, but are being held as if they are terrorists like Bill Ayers, is an actual terrorist who I mentioned during my open before you got on. What is it exactly? What criminal justice system is it that operates in a way where somebody charged with a misdemeanor or low-level felony in the United States can be treated like this?
It's a criminal justice system that has been infected with politics. It is a politicized criminal justice system. It is a regime, the Biden or the Brandon regime, who is currently in charge, who has targeted members of the political opposition for political dissidents, who has hunted them down for the first time in American history across the country and jailed them pre-trial. It's ridiculous and it's wrong. And regarding Bill Ayers, the Weather Underground, members of the M19 terrorist group, let me tell you this. The 1983 Capitol bombing that took place had two women that bombed that Capitol, that bombed the Senate chamber, right? You had Susan Rosenberg and you had Elizabeth Ann Duke. Susan Rosenberg was sentenced to 56 years of incarceration for her participation in the bombing there and in the 1980 Brink robbery, a famous, famous robbery. She was caught with 600 pounds of explosives, an Uzi, thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars of cash, 56 years in jail. On his last day in office, President Bill Clinton commuted her sentence. She went on to raise over $100 million for Black Lives Matter. What is going on here? Then you have Elizabeth Ann Duke, who was granted bail after bombing the Capitol. She went on the run. If you type into Google right now, who are the most wanted domestic terrorists, the FBI's top 10 list, there is Elizabeth Ann Duke. Despite this reality, Barack Obama and Eric Holder in 2009, while Barack Obama was still in office, quashed her arrest warrant and dismissed her indictment. When the conservatives who were in D.C. found out what was going on, they said, hey, what the hell is happening here? We remember that she bombed the Capitol. Why are you essentially setting her free? They called for an investigation. The investigation happened and it was quashed by the chief judge. The chief judge who quashed the investigation at that time, none other than Merrick Garland. That is how deep this goes.
Only in a communist system do things like this happen. So if anybody has any questions as to whether or not a Marxist coup took place and there's a transition of power and a communist takeover happening in this country, what you just said, I mean, is evidence. That's the proof in the pudding right there. There is a communist takeover happening, and it's a communist government that's treating these political prisoners in the heinous way that they are. So we've got a very activated group of viewers here at the Stu Peters Show. People want to be involved. They want to know how can they help? What action can they take to help your cause and the cause for freedom for these patriots that were objecting to what is an obviously stolen election?
Of course. So what you can do to help, obviously, just financial contributions. You can reach out to Patriot Freedom Project. Patriot Freedom Project is ran by through Cynthia Hughes. It's a great organization. They are helping fund legal defenses for many people who have been represented by public defenders, but they need really good private representation. Guys and gals who are going to go to bat for these January 6ers. Patriot Freedom Project has also been taking care of the families who have been financially assassinated here. The breadwinners, most of these guys are the breadwinners for their families, and they've been locked in solitary confinement for the past year. Their families are starving. Patriot Freedom Project has fed them, given Christmas gifts, birthday gifts, paid their bills, you name it, they are on it. They are an important and wonderful organization, and I encourage you to go to them and to give. Also, if you can't give with your finances, I ask that you pray. That you pray, that you petition God, that you storm heaven and you ask God for help. Because no matter what is happening right now, no matter how strong that army of darkness, that army of evil thinks it is, and it very well maybe at this point, it is written. In the end, the people of light, the people of God, we win. They know it. Their time is short. With each day that goes by, it is getting shorter. The truth will have its day in court. Light will triumph over darkness in the end, and the people of God will win. There is no doubt about it.
Amen. Amen. There is no denying the power of God and the power of prayer.
No denying it.
Specifically, put your hand out and pray for something very specific. We have a God that loves to answer prayers. And in the end, yes, he wins. We know how the good book ends. Joe McBride, thank you so much for being here, and thank you for your fight. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Well, with a horrifically demonic, transhumanist, psychopath, communist faction trying to overthrow this government, I can't think of a better time than now to remind you that you need a gun. Everybody needs a gun. Where's my gun permit? The Second Amendment, that's where. Everybody should be carrying a gun. And whether you're a private person or a dealer, and whether you're looking to buy or sell guns, use the most trusted platform to do so. Go to GunsAmerica.com. Celebrating 25 years in business. Local transactions under 50 miles, absolutely free. If you find something outside of 50 miles that you just absolutely have to have, whether it's the handgun or the shotgun for personal house defense or the rifle for hunting, no matter what it is, you get a $10 credit when you sign up at GunsAmerica.com. But when you sign up, you get a whole lot more than just the ability to make transactions to buy and sell guns. You get Hunt 365, hunting tips. You get in the field experts telling you about different kinds of guns. GunsAmerica.com, celebrating 25 years, the most trusted platform for buying and selling guns. Go sign up. Do it right now. Make sure that you tell them Stu sent you when you go to GunsAmerica.com. Well, the debate over whether COVID-19 is a natural virus or an engineered one has brought a lot of new attention to all of the research that the U.S. government is quietly spending money on. Some of it might be related to engineered viruses or bioweapons. Some of it could be conceivably a great deal stranger. Celeste Solemn is a broadcaster, author, organic farmer, and more among the many hats that she wears. She believes, based on her observations of global trends, that we are headed toward a cataclysmic extinction-level event for humanity in the next 30 years. She's also written some provocative pieces over the past few years. In 2018, she wrote that the Panacea program of DARPA, the DOD's research arm, was working to create superhumans beyond our wildest imaginations. More recently, she argued that COVID vaccines are part of a global depopulation agenda to synthetically transform the human body. And just a couple weeks ago, she wrote that the 3D nanoparticles are editing the human body into new reptilian creatures with rainbow-colored reptilian skin, smart skin with godlike properties, and perverted sexual signaling to attract other entities. These are remarkable claims. Obviously, we wanted to talk with Celeste, and she joins us now. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So where are we really, according to your observations, and where do you gain all of this insight?
Okay, so I used to work for the government, and I worked for them for over a decade. I was there for Y2K, 9/11, Hurricane Katrina, terrorism, earthquakes, floods, the rest. And so, of course, I had opportunity to exercise, write plans, be involved intimately with plans. And you can imagine my shock and horror the beginning of January 2020, when I saw all those plans being operationalized in a very succinct infographic that people can see at the World Economic Forum.
So what exactly are the plans that you see coming to fruition that concern you?
There are, according to the World Economic Forum, they are going to change human, all biological life on Earth. They want to change every bit of society, the fabric of everything we know, from the way that we buy things, who we are, monitoring our behavior, that type of thing.
So is it just primarily the World Economic Forum that's behind all of this, or are there other bad actors involved?
There's many, many bad actors. I would say that the United Nations puts out the mandates. The World Economic Forum is kind of the economic part. How do these plans fit into the economic future of transforming the globe? And they're actually what they're trying to do is create a whole synthetic or artificial reality with everything that we have known in the past is will be no more. It is they are deconstructing everything from the bottom or from the, well, I don't know if it's from the, they're deconstructing all everything, all life forms, culture, everything down to the elemental building blocks, and then they're rebuilding it in the image that they want to see.
What is the end goal for these people?
The super end goal is for the elite to upload themselves into a synthetic body and then to go off planet, go into a spaceship or whatever. And then the Earth would be sacrificed. They would blow it up as a neutron star.
And what makes you think that all of this is going to take place in the next 30 years?
So I have opportunity to attend many military conferences. And at first they were in alignment with the UN's 2030 sustainable mandate. But then about 2 years ago, they moved up the timeline to 2025. And if you go to the Army Mad Scientist, you can see that they're bringing on board a whole new race of humanoids. These are humans that do not have a soul. They call them the new humans. And all the old humans that were created the way that men and women and children have been created throughout history have to be depopulated. And that is by 2025. And that is one reason that we are seeing this huge agenda for the gene editing tools.
Okay, so you know that there's going to be millions of people viewing this. Out of that, there's going to be a portion of them that say, wow, this sounds extremely sci-fi. This Celeste Solemn lady is nuts. She's crazy. To those people, you say what?
What I do at shepherdsheart.life and in my broadcasts is I show everybody the URLs. They don't have to take my word for it. They can go to the actors themselves, read the documents, read the articles, see the images. They don't have to believe me at all. As a matter of fact, I would challenge them, don't believe me and do your own homework.
How big of a role do you believe these injections that we now know to be a bioweapon, how big of a role does this particular series of shots play in this agenda that you're talking about? Is this just a failed vaccine, or is this part of this plan? Is this a diabolical, cynical piece of the puzzle that you're referencing here?
This is a diabolical and cynical piece of the puzzle. It's called directed evolution. And every time a person takes a test, a vaccine, or a booster, you are being edited, gene edited. You are becoming less human and more transhuman.
So how do the tests make that happen? Are you referring to these PCR tests that they put up into the blood-brain barrier? How are the tests specifically altering people's genetic makeup?
So they're tainted with a substance called hydrogel or quantum dot, either one. They're kind of interchangeable. Quantum dot is a little more colorful than hydrogel, but they are a trace and track system. They also have the very unique ability to be able to remotely deploy any drug and any vaccine to any person at any time once the platform is installed in a person.
So you do broadcasts. How often are your broadcasts? If our viewers want to come over and watch some of your information, where can we direct people to go to find more of what it is that you're hypothesizing here?
At celestialreport.com.
Say it again.
Celestialreport.com.
Celestialreport.com. Celeste Solemn, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. Klaus Schwab is a sick man, and the rest of his sycophants, these deranged, demonic transhumanists. The goal here is to remove God from your soul, to make you less Christ-like every single day, more of a subservient slave in an environment on a planet where they farm and grow humans. It's sick stuff. CelestialReport.com. Celeste gives a weekly show over there where she does a Q&A. She used to work for FEMA, the federal government. You can ask her all kinds of questions. I'm sure that she would be happy to answer them. I want to remind you about our great friends over at StepOnSocks.com. Do your Christmas shopping with these Patriots. These are 100% Patriot designed, all cotton, high quality socks. You get a 3-pack for just $17.76. I showed you yesterday. You get a red, white, and blue pair. There's some digital camo socks available over there. Everything from the Globalist to the Newsom and Pence socks. You can step on these snakes all day long. Or you can find the free Our Kids sock, the Freedom Forever sock, or my personal favorite, the Trust in God sock. Trust in God, only God. Go to steponsocks.com. You'll find more than just socks. You'll find silver at steponsocks.com, as well as an array of different awesome flags. Do all of your Christmas shopping at steponsocks.com. Mention Stu Peters when you go to steponsocks.com. Well, by now, I'm sure that many of you have heard about it, specifically if you are in New York, that you are now under a new communist, overreaching, tyrannical mandate at the hands of Bill de Blasio, who's leaving office now in just 3 days. Deanna Lorraine here to talk to us more about this. Now, let me see if I've got this straight. Everybody in New York City, including private businesses, are going to be required to have proof of vaccination, including kids as young as age 5, to participate in indoor dining in the entire city of New York.
Right. So if Bill de Blasio, as if he didn't crush New York City and destroy it enough, on his way out, he wanted to just give it one last twist in the heart and destroy every last semblance of a business and life in New York City.
Yeah, he's giving it a big F you. I mean, he's showing New Yorkers a big middle finger on his way out, showing his real tyrant capabilities.
Yeah, but no, but it's for people's safety, though. He believes this is going to somehow revive businesses and bring businesses back and make people very safe because of the Omicron virus.
The only thing this is going to revive is his pocketbook, because I'm sure that he's being well compensated by big pharmaceutical companies like Pfizer and Moderna.
Of course. So he didn't give anyone any notice, any warning, and the city is up in arms about it. He's giving people 3 weeks. All private businesses must enforce this vaccine mandate, okay? They must, or else they'll go out of business, get fined, whatever. And employees cannot show up for work after 3 weeks, starting December 27th, if they have not been vaccinated. This is all businesses, private and public. This is incredible. And businesses are going crazy. I mean, they're not happy with this. They're saying, what the hell? This is no notice, first of all. And secondly, who's going to be enforcing it? There's been no conversations about this. And I'm going to read you a stat. This is actually really alarming. In the Bronx, this is just one subsection. In the Bronx, with 15% unemployment already, 28% of residents in the Bronx will no longer be eligible to work starting December 27th. Including 44% of Black young adults when this vaccine mandate goes through. That's almost half of young Black adults in the Bronx itself, just this one subsection. That's insane.
Well, that's perfect. It's absolutely perfect for the Democrat Party, because they love to keep young Black people on the plantation unable to provide for themselves.
Right. It's a perfect control mechanism. And then, you know, de Blasio's little butt buddies, Dr. Zeke Emanuel, says this: getting the unvaccinated vaccinated is critical to getting our control. We know that that will not happen voluntarily. Those words, I mean, there's so much to unpack in just those two sentences. It's necessary to getting our control. And we know that that's not going to happen voluntarily. So they know that these vaccine mandates are wrong. people aren't going to want to at this point, if you're not vaccinated, is because you don't want to get vaccinated. And they have to now force you to get vaccinated, or you're on the streets destitute and you cannot work, which, like you said, is perfect for this great new reset, this great reset, so they can control everybody and have everyone dependent on them. And the second part that is so sinister and unbelievable is the five plus. If you're a five-year-old child, you have to get vaccinated. If you want to go to Baskin Robbins and get an ice cream cone and you're 5 years old, you have to be vaccinated all the way up until 12 plus. I mean, this is so sinister, Stu. So parents are not even going to have a choice anymore whether to want to vaccinate their 5- and 6-year-old. And meanwhile, there's posters for myocarditis and pediatric strokes. And billboards on buses saying, oh, it's normal now to have pediatric strokes and myocarditis for children, right? They're normalizing these symptoms in children. Meanwhile, your kid is probably going to have a damaged heart for the rest of their life because they can't function and be involved in any indoor activities or venues unless they're vaccinated in New York
City. Yeah. Meanwhile, I don't know if it was Merck or Pfizer or Moderna. I don't remember exactly who it was, but is rolling out their anti-heart inflammatory brand new medicine to go along with these. Plus, we have seen the little mini syringes and little mini needles that were transported all over the country. Kids are being bribed now in all kinds of different ways.
Cream trucks,
yeah,
et cetera.
I mean, this is just an extension of the sick abuse of our children that these globalist demonic parasites have been participating in for years, including the sexual torment of them, the transgender acceptance indoctrination that they get in their classrooms, this anti-white racist filth called CRT that's being shoved down their throats all day long. And now they're being told that they're not going to be able to essentially live life, to do anything. Now, I have also heard that they can't participate in extracurricular activities. To this, what do you know?
I know that as well. That's the whole thing. So they're not going to be able to participate in extracurricular activities. You know, if they want to join a band or soccer or anything, they can't join that. And then in schools in New York and in California, too, all across the states, yeah, you can't go to school anymore if as long as that Pfizer or the vaccine has been approved for 5+, which now it has been, you're not going to be able to attend school if you're a child unless you're double vaccinated.
Deanna, this is the time right now when New Yorkers and Americans need to say no more. Yeah. We have to be noncompliant at this point. At what point, no matter what political party you belong to, no matter even what your religious ideology is, at what point does your medical condition, your health, the decisions that you make for your family, at what point do you just say, you're not going to interfere with this anymore? The government is not allowed to come into my private life like this and determine what I inject into myself. I mean, this is medical rape. That's what this is.
It's another version of child rape. I was just going to say that. This is child rape. You're injecting this substance into a child against their and their parents' will. I mean, how much more sinister and aggressive can you get? And I appreciate, you know, those parents that come on your show or Tucker Carlson or something and complain about this, but why aren't there millions of parents protesting this? This is the bottom line. This is the line in the sand that I think all parents need to insist on not crossing. I mean, it doesn't get any worse than this.
Well, to the defense of thousands of parents who have been out there, we have to tip our hat to those that have been out there actually protesting but have not gotten any media coverage. I don't know why that might be, but the media is not there to document the thousands that are protesting. But you're right, that number should be exponentially higher. There should be millions of New Yorkers in the street right now saying, absolutely not, no way in hell. Businesses should be saying, no, we're not going to do this. You'll have to shut us down. And the enforcement arm of de Blasio, Blasio's edict here. I don't know who's going to be enforcing this. Is it going to be the county sheriff? Is it going to be the New York City Police Department? You know, have they agreed to enforce this stuff? I mean, they're already under attack. They're already completely stretched thin. They're understaffed because a lot of cops are walking away because of this mandate to begin with. And then the ones that are staying are, by the way, still being targeted for assassination and urine bombs and Black Lives Matter / Antifa style terrorist attacks when they are working out of nowhere for no reason, by the way, whatsoever, other than the fact that they wear a badge and carry a gun. So obviously they're systemically racist. And, you're right. There needs to be millions of people drawing the line in the sand right now. I've got about 30 seconds left here. What's your final words?
Yeah, no, it's because there's power in numbers, and we get a couple people, there's just not enough power. They're going to get muted. Their voices are going to get trampled over. But if there's millions of you all in the streets, they've got to do something. They can't enforce something that millions of people and parents are not willing to go through. So please raise your voices. We need you. Let this be the last stand. New York, we've got your back, but do something, for God's sake. Stand up.
That's right.
Don't comply.
Your personal, your body's personal autonomy should belong to you, period. Yeah. There is no negotiating anymore with that. I mean, this is plain as day.
Your child.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And if you bend a knee here now, don't come crying back when the tyranny really gets oppressive. I mean, this is about as oppressive as it gets here. They're forcing needles into your kids now. We predicted this was going to happen. We were tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorists, remember? Now here it is, another conspiracy theory turned into truth, another conspiracy theory turned into fact. They're coming after your kids. They're going to inject them whether you like it or not. Now is the time to fight back, period. No negotiating with these terrorists anymore. Deanna Lorraine, the host of a brand new show called Shots Fired after the first of the year, which will be found at redvoicemedia.com/premium for premium users. We're happy to have her. Also, the author of the book Taking Back America, which you can find at deannalorraine.com. Deanna, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. Well, Christopher Key might not be millions of people, but he's certainly representing millions of people. The vaccine police are boots on the ground fighting right in the face of this tyranny. Tyranny just like what de Blasio is doing. Just yesterday in Louisiana, Christopher Key was in front of a group of lawmakers in Louisiana. He was kicked out of the meeting originally, then brought back in to speak. He's making a difference. He's putting up billboards in major metropolitan areas warning people about the dangers of these deadly bioweapon shots. He's confronting petty tyrants on school boards, getting mask mandates lifted, vaccine mandates lifted. He's confronting these hospital administrators. Why are you killing our loved ones, our people? Filling their bodies with poisonous remdesivir and slamming them on ventilators, keeping their families and loved ones and friends separated from them while they die of something that they don't need to die from because there are early treatments that work. I'm an example. Me, Stu Peters, I used hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. I just got over this stupid thing, this little cold. Nobody needs to be dying of COVID-19, and nobody needs a fake mRNA bioweapon injection that provides no immunity at all whatsoever. Please support the vaccine police if you can. Go to vaccine-police.com. Again, please help me, join me in supporting the vaccine police with a donation right now. Go to vaccine-police.com. Again, vaccine-police.com.
Give the most of Red Voice Media by going premium. Exclusive behind-the-scenes content. One-on-one extended hard-hitting interviews with Stu Peters and deep dive investigative reports. All always 100% ad-free when you become a premium member. Always 100% America first. True conservative values. Action-based reporting with courage. 100% ad-free content, including the headlines mainstream media won't touch. Uncensored, unafraid, unstoppable. RedVoiceMedia.com/premium. RedVoiceMedia.com/premium.
Well, depending on what so-called heavy air quotes here expert you listen to, some would say that the moronic or Omicron variant might take its toll on the stock market. But Morgan Stanley says, no, it's not that. It's something else. That's the subject of today's Money Minute with Carlos Cortez, who joins us now. So what is the bigger threat to the stock market than the Omicron variant?
The biggest threat is always going to be inflation and taxes. And also, I'll add to it, and I agree with Morgan Stanley here, is that the Fed doesn't even know what to do with the markets. Everything's out of control. Like I said, bacon, gas, petroleum, everything is out of control. And so when we have hyperinflation, that's the Fed's fault for printing money, for allowing to print money and print money. Things are just going up, Stu, and it's ungodly how the inflation is killing us.
You know, my dad runs a dog kennel facility, and he has huge LP tanks, and he was saying that it's almost four times the cost now. He had like a $10,000 bill to fill his on-site LP tanks in order to have heat in the kennel areas and everything. And you see it when you go to the store, you see it in eggs, milk, butter, bread, yeah. All the necessities that are always on the list. I don't care who you are. When you go to the store, you always have eggs, milk, butter, and bread on your list. You can't get away from it. And these things are absolutely through the roof. The Fed is criminal. I mean, the Fed needs to be abolished almost immediately. You're a financial expert. To that, you say what?
Yeah, so we need to make allocations into equities that thrive during inflation. And this is the whole importance of having an active money manager that can shift into high yields or different defensive growth stocks, as well as cryptocurrency tends to do well during a inflationary period. So,
and you can have that help from this expert, this guy right here tonight, immediately following this show. Reserve your spot. Go to AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Again, AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com, and reserve your spot. These are free classes. They're designed for you, for patriots, absolutely free. You can do it in the comfort of your own home, and you can do it in your pajamas. You can do it with a cocktail. You can do it with your spouse or your dog. You can do it on the toilet. Nobody really cares about where you do it from. All we care is that you get the necessary information. It's a huge wealth of information for you. So please, AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Or if you just want to book a one-on-one appointment with this guy, go to CortezWM.com. Again, CortezWM.com. Carlos Cortez, a God-fearing patriot, an American independent fiduciary, a family man, a man of God. Go do business with him. Get away from these communists. Until tomorrow at this time, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. May they be dragged to it. May they be tied to it. May they be forced to it. But here's to us who do do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. I'll be praying for you. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car. And when they do, save!